Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah.
But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia.
That's the wonderful Dar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns, who wrote most of the words to that song except for Solartopia, which I wrote. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman joining you on the Progressive Radio Network with our weekly Green Power and Wellness show. We got a ton to deal with today, and we got a great man to deal it with. John Brakey, you with us?
I certainly am, Harvey.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with a little monologue. We're waiting to see if Steve Rosenfeld or Bob Fitrakis will call in. We want to talk a lot about Iowa the predictable prevent Bernie from getting the nomination fiasco there. But first, I do want to talk about the impeachment and the fascism in the White House. I want to hand it to Mitt Romney. Thankfully, one Republican stepped forward to, challenge the fascist in the White House. This is really important that at least one Republican did dissent. It does mean a lot. And I watched much of the trial. One of the first, perhaps the first trial in the history of the United States to have no witnesses, no documents. What are these guys afraid of? I think, we all know what we're dealing with here now. This is fascism, pure and simple. We have someone in the White House who sees himself as a dictator and has no concept of the Constitution for all its limitations. I do want to compliment Nancy Pelosi. I'm not a big fan, but I thought her tearing up the speech at the end there was a perfect gesture. It was about as good as you can get. What was she going to do, give him the finger? So I don't know when she came up with that or who came up with it for her, if someone else did, but it was a brilliant move. And the speech itself, which I did not listen to and will not read, was my understanding from the reviews, just a pure fascist assault on all that's good about America. We have a schizophrenic nation here. I just wrote a piece today by Robert Reich, who interviewed people in the Midwest and basically said that, the working people in the Midwest are divided between Bernie and Trump. And that they want someone who is opposed to the establishment. And you got to remember that it was Bill Clinton who gave us NAFTA, that gutted our industrial machine, as did Ronald Reagan before him, by allowing all the major corporations to go overseas to move their manufacturing facilities overseas, as did Barack Obama, who allowed the crash of 2008, 7, 8, 9, really, to proceed with no restructuring of the banking system, with a total bank out of all the thieves and the Wall Street robber barons who robbed the country of hundreds of billions of dollars and then paid no price for it. And the price we all pay now is Donald Trump. At the same time, we have Hillary Clinton coming out and attacking Bernie. Bernie actually campaigned in 2016 in many places much harder than Hillary did. He went from all over Iowa. He actually went to Wisconsin, which Hillary couldn't lower herself to do. Hillary Clinton basically campaigned like Marie Antoinette. And then, of course, John Brakey, as you and I know, the election was stolen anyway, and we're going to have to deal with that. Now, I have a piece published at truthout.org saying that the Iowa caucuses, the fiasco, predictable fiasco in Iowa, should prompt us to switch to paper ballots. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it. They actually did use paper ballots in some cases in Iowa, but it was a ridiculously convoluted system. It was obviously set up to fail. The people who designed the app were very close to the Democratic National Committee, which is desperate, going to any length possible to prevent Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination. And I hate to say it, but I just watched a segment of Tucker Carlson, who was exactly on point about how the Democrats are terrified that Bernie's going to get the nomination. They're doing everything in their power to stop him. Obviously, Joe Biden is not going to work out. I mean, he threw a temper tantrum using expletives. Nice guy Joe, working class Joe, all that garbage, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, Joe Biden is not only unelectable, he's unnominatable. So they've opened the door now for the latest billionaire, Michael Bloomberg. And we'll see how that plays out. But clearly, Bernie was the rightful winner in Iowa. They propped up Pete Buttigieg to, you know, defang and discount Bernie's obvious victory in Iowa. And then in comes Trump. First of all, he gets an acquittal on one of the most absurd, insulting, insane non-trials in history. And I want to make some special comments about Alan Dershowitz. I have met Alan Dershowitz. He hangs out on Martha's Vineyard, where I've gone occasionally to visit friends. And he embarrassed himself and the nation as no person has ever embarrassed and insulted the intelligence of the world, getting in front of the U.S. Senate and the world audience and basically saying that the U.S. Constitution allows for a dictatorship. I mean, if a president is not impeachable or removable for what Donald Trump did, in particular obstruction of justice, which was what Dershowitz was addressing, then we have a dictatorship. There's no check and balance. There's nothing a president can't do. And, of course, we've seen a guy in the White House who thinks that he can do anything. John Brakey, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I would just say that right on what you're saying, and as to Iowa, you know, I did the Tucson Snowbird Iowa caucus, and that was a tremendous experience. But my part of watching it very hard was to see what the security was like and how that was done. And you know, hey, when they fill out that, when they get that card, that's what's counted. And they have to actually sign their name to it by the first round. And then if they didn't get to 15%, then people could jump. In the caucus that I was, only 72 people, only two people made the jump. And I followed the whole chain of custody to the smartphone to send it in. And that's where the failure was. And really, you know, because of that secure system, you know, to me, somebody crashed the system because they knew that Sanders was going to roll. They wanted Pete to get a boost out because apparently he's the anointed, and they know that Biden's, and part of election chicanery. And at the very end, I see what happening in Iowa is that that the numbers are going to add up. I have to ask somebody, well, how did you figure the delegates? And if it was done fairly or whatever, you know, because, you know, it was awful. I mean, it was sad to see this whole thing go down like it did in Iowa. And it just sends a really bad message of what's coming in front of the American people. And, you know, at the very end, what kind of cynicism are we all going to have about the whole thing? And who's going to believe the November election starting at the rate right now? You know, it's we got a lot of problems. It's a very serious situation going on. And I know that you know it, Harvey.
Steve Rosenfeld, are you on with us? Steve? I guess he's not.
I hope he doesn't come on because he wasn't. Right there on the front line, and because I talk to him all the time, and he's got some pretty incredible stuff that he's working on in Iowa and all of this.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting for Steve Rosenfeld to join us. I wanted him on the show because he has pretty specific knowledge. I'm texting him right now, see if we can get him on the show. Okay. So, John, you know, I had a someone... commented on my piece at Truth Out, saying that my piece was wrong, saying that it was time for hand counted paper ballots because they did use paper ballots in Iowa. I mean, what is he talking about here?
Okay, what's going on here is that when you come in, you sign in. And then if there's 72 people, they'll pass out 72 cards, and they'll tell you not to sign it. And then by then, everybody's already caucused in their groups. I mean, the room's already set up. Here's where Sanders people go. Here is where others, and they have signs, and they put it on the table. And that's how the process starts. And then the rules are explained very clearly by the first, they have to elect a chair, and then they explain it. And I have this all on video, by the way. It's a very interesting process. I think it's really wonderful how they did it, because we don't meet enough as citizens. So then what happens is that at a certain point, everybody's in their position, and then they pass out the cards, and they say, don't come out yet. Then they explain that you need to sign the thing with your own name, okay? And that is where the returns come into, even though it's an oral count at first, okay? And then there's round two, and round two is if your group did not meet 15%, and in this situation 11 people, you have the right to switch, okay? And two people only switched. And that was it. Done. And then the delegates, and so then I stayed around, of course, and took picture
Were you there?
The results, and I filmed the whole thing, and it's online.
So you 28 minutes online.
Long.
You voted in the Iowa caucuses online?
No. It's the I put online the video that I made of the whole process, and then of course with the evidence, the documentation showing how they got there, because I took pictures of everything and filmed.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, and I found it to be good. So the point is that it's the same thing that happened, in 2012? Wasn't it Romney and somebody else or whoever and the Republican side? And 2 weeks later, they found out that the wrong winner was named? It's a better system now than it was then.
I do remember that the voting machines in Cincinnati, Hart InterCivic voting machines, were from a company partially owned by Romney. And, you know, since everybody knew that Cincinnati was going to be critical in turning the tide on the election, and we were kicked off Daily Coast for suggesting that there was a conspiracy here, that maybe it wasn't a good idea for the family of a contender in a primary process to have a part ownership of the election, of the voting machines that were going to decide the election.
Harvey.
So, yes. Oh, hey, Bob. Bob Petraeus.
Yeah, I just called in.
Yeah, thank you. Bob.
Hey, Bob.
This is a great Bob Petraeus on with John Brakey. We're talking about Iowa. Bob, you and I were talking at dinner the other night, and you mentioned something about the app that was used in Iowa having been some kind of tie to the Democratic National Committee. Did I understand you right?
Yeah, no, it's, Shadow, the name of the company had ties to the DNC. There was mention in memos of a former Obama staffer, and of course, the financing Buttigieg supporter, one of the financiers. All of that's in the public record. You know, that's been released. I mean, just begin with the obvious idea. Why would you do beta testing on an app with the most important election in the world on the line? And also, again, what Chuck Todd said, who usually I don't agree with, but said the one that really helped was Biden, who was going down in flames. By finishing fourth, there would have been all this pressure to force him out of the race.
Well, I think
and the backup telephone system failed as well. The quote from the Godfather, I don't believe in coincidences.
Right. Well, excuse me. I think Biden has gone down in flames anyway. I mean, I don't see how. I think that the Democratic National Committee's next step is to push Bloomberg. I don't think after this that people are going to be supporting Biden. Do you see it, Bob? I mean, apparently.
Oh, well, what I see is Bloomberg signs all over Columbus and in Bexley and on the east side. I mean, Bloomberg's putting in a ton of money and putting it in early for Ohio, and there's reports nationally. I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, Biden wasn't ready for prime time. He's imploded. I mean, his big soundbite the other day was talking about stuttering, you know, his experience with that. I think Bloomberg is the great hope. But you saw the New York Times saying that the center is not going to hold the editorial.
Right. Yes, I did see that. John Brakely, how's Bloomberg playing in Arizona?
All the time on TV. And, you know, he's, you know, gaining momentum. He's got ground people in Arizona. I've been called twice. And he's, of course, self-financed. So that's Arizona.
Well, he's totally fine, yeah. Unlike Trump, although Trump may now be a billionaire, having profited so well from his time in the White House, but unlike Trump, Bloomberg is a bona fide billionaire, and not just one or two. Well, not just 1 or 2 billion. I mean, he's got 50-60 billion. But he is another short
$2 billion to this cycle. And if he doesn't get the nomination, he said he's still going to support. And, you know, he turned around and gave Stacey Abrams and her group, which is a really great group, which dealing with voter suppression, $5 million. And
well,
didn't even get an endorsement back because there was nothing tied to it. That's impressive. Okay?
Well, we got $270.
You know, Ralph Nader wrote a book a long time ago, didn't he? He's only the billionaires can save us or something. Maybe this guy, you know, hopefully... you know, he may not get it, but he's the one who can really help because, you know, free speech costs money in this country. You know, how many years I've been working on, you know, trying to make elections transparent, trackable, and publicly verified is needed more now than ever because realistically, you know, those who believe the Russians or the Chinese or the Iranians are hacking, no, all they need to do is just keep sowing cynicism that in November, when Trump loses, he will say it was stolen. And he's an incumbent, and it just could get really nasty. And that's a motivation for me to let people know that, hey, 80% of this country is now digital with digital images. We need to force these people to put the inkjet back into the commercial scanners that they use and marry the ballot to the ballot image and let those images go out to public by precinct. And, you know, folks need to remember that voting, yes, is a secret process, but counting and verifying is a public process. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, when we look at what needs to be done, I mean, at the core of it is the non-transparency in our system. and these deliberate attempts to make it non-transparent.
Yeah, well, you know, these guys...
Absolutely.
So here's the question. Here's a question to raise. Let's say Bloomberg pours, you know, a couple billion into the primaries, which he wouldn't even notice missing. And God, I mean, John, I wish we could get a meeting with Bloomberg to talk about election transparency. He could
totally
solve a lot of problems.
We got a solution. So
I don't know,
lawyers,
Bob. You're a big,
campaign.
You've been a big investor with Bloomberg.
In Florida, and people start calling the secretary.
Hey, yeah, I used to subscribe to their magazine.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, so the question then becomes, if Bloomberg pours a couple billion into the primaries and Bernie still gets the nomination, will Bloomberg fund Bernie? I mean, Bloomberg seems to understand how big a threat Trump is.
Yeah.
You know, if Bernie gets the nomination and a couple billion behind him to take on both Trump and the Democrats, I don't know. We'll have to see. Two old Jewish guys. I mean, what the heck? And I got to say, Bob, I'll start with you. Why isn't Tom Perez been thrown out of office? Why is this guy still chairing the Democratic Party after this catastrophe, fiasco, absurdity in Iowa? This guy should not be there. I mean, you know, they got rid of Debbie Wasserman at the convention. Why don't they get rid of Tom Perez now? Debbie Schultz, wait. We never use the name Wasserman in conjunction with Debbie Schultz. Okay? It's Debbie Schultz. There's no Wasserman involved. If you want to use a middle name, call her Weinstein. Okay? So, Bob, why is Tom Perez still in power?
Because he's willing to look the other way and do the things that need to be done, like a complete catastrophe that essentially allows strange results. And, you know, he's there precisely because of what happened in Iowa. I mean, it's a plus that he's willing to go the extra, you know, corrupt distance.
John Brakey, do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I don't get into that part of what happened politically, even though I do know that, you know, through my attorney, who's very knowledgeable, who used to work for Perkins Coie, is that there's a lot of people who say, who are heavyweights, keep your goddamn thumb off the scales. It backfired last time, okay? And so there, it's a fight in the party.
Well, I think
about this. I mean, Shadow, who came up with, you know, this incredibly bad decision to test their, you know, beta version in one of the most important elections on the planet, received its funding from a super PAC acronym, which was paid $60,000. Acronym, the super PAC paid $60,000 to Shadow. But at the same time, the person who benefits the most, Buttigieg, matched
paid
the money with
$42,500,
Pete for America. So it's really, really odd. Des Moines Register holds back, you know, their last field poll. You know, Bernie's surging in out of nowhere. You know, the election gets taken down. And the headlines that would have forced Biden out, you know, disappear. And Buttigieg is now, there's been reports that Sanders actually did better, that 30% of the early audits were showing that somebody was screwing the rounding numbers up, that they weren't rounding essentially correctly, which would have been ultimately in Sanders' favor. Nor, if you watch CNN, you know, what they'll do is focus on the delegates, but ignore any of the notion that Sanders actually won the popular vote. So, you know, this was no accident, and the phone system didn't also accidentally go down. Like, there was only 1,700 precincts.
Exactly.
That's virtually nothing for an 800, you know, number with 10 people with rollover phones.
Exactly.
This was deliberate.
Yep. Wow. I believe that too. And they carried the and they knew where they could go ahead and not count this and say, I want to challenge that, because they were trying to get Mayor Pete out the gate before he claimed victory. And then it's an old story in a couple of days.
Well, you know, remember when the Manchester union leader wrote about one of the Bush's early upset, George Herbert Walker Bush. They said, it looks just like a CIA election in the third world, CIA-backed election, right? There's catastrophe, there's chaos, everything gets held up, and then the unexpected numbers come in. But you're exactly right. They wanted to get the alternative out of the gate. Remember, they did this with Rick Santorum. When George W. Bush, they claimed won by three delegates in Iowa, and then 2 weeks later, after Santorum lost his momentum, they pointed out he'd won by 34 delegates.
Yeah.
Once they corrected all the numbers.
Yes.
Well, we're talking with
them. They do have a good audit system. I did the caucus in Tucson. I explained it earlier in the show. And they do have these ballots that they're using, preference cards. You have to sign your name to them. Okay? And then, I videotaped, made a film. It's only 28 minutes long that shows how the whole thing works. And then I attached the evidence as documents of how many people actually voted. And then what the card looks like, how it's filled out, and then the final sheet that was supposed to come in by a smartphone. It never happened.
Unbelievable stuff. We're talking with Bob Fitrakis, publisher of the Columbus Free Press, John Brakey, one of the great election protection activists. We're waiting for Steve Rosenfeld to call in. I wonder, Steve seemed to have a pretty detailed knowledge of Iowa. We may have to have him next week. I guarantee you this is the only radio show in the country talking about in such detail about the theft of the Iowa caucuses. Bob, you and I, and John, if you want to jump in, we'll have to do a piece on this to document it because it's outrageous. The stakes could not be higher. So, and the question is, I just got a note from Steve that he's on a plane circling. I hope they don't throw him off the plane for taking a phone call that's still in the air. But here's my fear. And you remember, Bob, you and I wrote in great detail about how the 2016 primaries were rigged to make sure that Bernie didn't get the nomination. And, of course, we all know how well that worked out since Hillary campaigned like Marie Antoinette. And we were attacked not by the Republicans, not by the corporate Democrats, but by the progressive left, so-called. And now here we are, deja vu all over again. So here's the key question. What's going to happen in California? You know, we're already locking horns with the Secretary of State in California. They could have gone with hand-counted paper ballots and ballot images. Instead, they're trying to buy, digital marking devices, which are completely ridiculous. We don't know what they're going to do. And this is not to rig the vote for Trump. Nobody thinks that Trump is going to win California. But it's clearly meant to rig the vote in the primary against Bernie. Bob, what do you think?
Oh, no, I think you're, stating what both of us believe to be a fact, just like the use of the VAN app, which, was given by the DNC to both candidates in 2016, Clinton and Sanders, and many of the newly registered Sanders college students and young people reported that they were left off. The data never got there. They were put in the wrong party, the American Independence Party, a crypto-fascist remnant from George Wallace, that a lot of things happened that eliminated voters or the data never got there, and all of it helped Clinton and hurt Bernie Sanders.
John Brakey?
Oh, California. Wow. Election night. You know, I promised I'd canvass the whole state and watch everything in slices. Election night, I got half the counties done, and I go, oh, my God, Bernie's losing by 26 points. It's all over. Opened a bottle of wine, cooked dinner, went to bed, disgusted. Next morning, Hillary was only up 13%. Bernie lost the precincts only by 2%. Okay, now the lead's only 13. It broke the rule of large numbers. Then I found out that 850,000 people were pushed into provisionals, and somebody got into the voter database and they targeted people. One of those people was Bev Harris-Law, okay? Found out that he was with the Green Party, okay? And then they call the election on election night, okay? They're going to audit. And those ballots are sorted. So basically, you know, to your strip and flip, I added the stack in front because they stacked. And they stacked it by using the Pitney Bowes. And the Pitney Bowe machines, that's Jeffrey Dean's brother worked with that company. What a mix. The original people from Global, Diebold, okay? And when a ballot goes through that machine, when it comes back in, it's a sorter. And it takes a picture of your envelope. If it likes your signature, it's your passed, and we'll open you up right away. If it doesn't, it has to be checked by eye. And you know what? That ballot that's being checked by eye may not get checked until after the election because we're really busy. And it seems like that in voting now, they know how you're going to vote on big races, okay? That was the whole point of the Help America Vote Act. That was the whole point of spending $2 billion because by 2006, they had all the voter databases in the country geared to go in to be able to be loaded into a commercial database. And then from that commercial database, they know if you like anchovies on your pizza, okay? They know a lot. In fact, they may have as many as 5,000 points on all of us that's managed by algorithms. And, wow, I hope I didn't tell anybody a real big conspiracy theory because you can watch TV and watch the movie on Netflix called The Great Hack, and it was playing part of the what they're doing now. It doesn't give you the history that I just gave you and that Bob knows, but it's, you know, California is incredible to know that this is the first primary, okay, that has been this early in the history. I mean, remember when they murdered Robert F. Kennedy? What did he say? That was the last primary. It's our win here today, and we're off to Chicago. He never made it to Chicago, okay?
Yeah, and that was June. That was June 5th.
Yeah.
And now it's down to March. Okay. And we know that, I mean, this is clear now. I think they're going to drop. I think Biden's got to go. I don't think that, I don't think anybody, even Tom Perez, knows that there's no hope for Biden. And so, you know, they failed. And I don't see Buttigieg going much further. I mean, he's useless. I mean, it's now a two-person race. It's Bloomberg versus Bernie, 270-something Jew guys, one with billions of dollars and one with a genuine grassroots constituency, and which the Democratic Party lives in terror of. So I think, Bob and John, we got to write a piece really explaining, we'll get Steve in, really explaining explicitly what was done in Iowa and what we can expect now in California. Because if Bloomberg comes in first in California,
well,
you know.
Well, Bob, Harvey, I blame a lot of this on the lack of good delis in Iowa. I think Bloomberg and Sanders both will agree that the Carnegie Deli should be brought back as a national treasure.
Absolutely. You're right. But I don't know, Bob. I think there are some good delis in Iowa, but, you know, not in that town where all the Maharishi people meditate. They don't eat meat, so pastrami is kind of lost on them. We're talking with Bob Fitrakis, publisher of the Columbus Free Press, John Brakey, election protection expert. This is the only detailed discussion you will hear until we turn it into an article about the mechanics of what was done in Iowa and more importantly, what we can expect in California and other states where the system will clearly be rigged. And I don't think there's any doubt that the big dog now for the Democrats will be Michael Bloomberg. Elizabeth Warren seemed to plummet. Amy Klobuchar is nowhere. Pete Buttigieg is an illusion. I think the country would actually vote for a Jewish guy before a gay guy. I might be wrong,
It's a good thing Buttigieg isn't also Jewish. Then he'd really be. So the knight in white armor for the Democratic National Committee is clearly Bloomberg. And, you know, I think why Tom Perez is still in there, why we got rid of Debbie Schultz and wound up with Tom Perez, I mean, that's, you know, that's going from the absurd to the ridiculous. So we have a battle here. I mean, you know, Trump is unified. Trump has a fascist militia ready to do his bidding. All the Republicans except the Mormon voted to acquit him in the most absurd non-trial in history. I have to really hand it to Melosi. I have to say, I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi, as mentioned, but she has an incredible sense of the theatrics. I mean, after that speech, what is the one thing you can do that will completely draw the attention away? You can't clobber him on the head with the gavel. You can't, you know, yell at him. You can't give him the finger. You tear up his speech. I don't know if I'd have thought that. I thought that was brilliant. So, breaking, John, are you coming to California? Are you going to monitor this thing?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that because it's, you know, ours is on the 17th, and I got Florida with Susan Pinshaw there, and, you know, Michigan at the same time. But, of course, yours is on the 3rd. I'm thinking about coming over, and if I do, hey, you might have a guest if it's okay, you know? And
absolutely.
And then I'll bring my setup because a lot of this stuff I can monitor online better than being there, okay? And it's grabbing the snapshots and things like that that are important. So maybe, but I'm definitely going to be watching California, either from here or over there with you.
And Bob Fitrakis, when is Ohio?
Oh, it's the second Tuesday in March instead of the first Thursday after a Monday. So
is that the week after California?
The exact date is, I think it actually might even be the 3rd. I think it's the 19th.
And we expect the same kind of craziness in Ohio as we're going to get as we just got in Iowa. And that we're going to get.
Well, Ohio, according to Secretary of State, has 13 distinct voting systems. And John's favorite is in Lake County, where Trump did surprisingly well. And none of the polls predicted, but he won by 15 points in a toss-up county. And they vote on the iVoteTronic, or as we call it in Ohio, Flipper.
Or push and pray.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a sick situation here where we have to worry about the actual election machines as opposed to the actual campaign. I assume that Trump will come to Ohio and hold some big Nuremberg rallies.
Well, he's actually already been there. He kicked it off here, and we'll expect that he'll be back, very often.
John Brakey, has he showed up in Arizona yet?
No, just Bloomberg's been in. He's the only one.
Bloomberg has come there personally to Arizona?
Yeah, he's been in Tucson and been in Phoenix, yes.
So he seems willing to get out and stump.
You bet he does.
How is he?
I can't imagine him as
a speaker. How is he as a speaker?
Say that again?
How is he as a speaker? I can't imagine him being a speaker. But he was mayor in New York for 12 years.
But I did not go to any of the events. And I didn't know about the Tucson one when it happened. I knew about the Phoenix one, and I had to go up to Pine Top with my family. And so I had to plan, so I couldn't go that one. But I understand one thing. It was badly organized, okay, and that at 6 o'clock the doors hadn't opened up. I guess it was 1,200 people who came. He finally showed up, and from what people I know who went told me that.
Bob, have
so
they
got a lot of learning
Michael
to do.
Bloomberg speeches?
No, but again, you know what Trump said, which wasn't true. When Trump said that he was negotiating to stand on a box?
Oh, God.
Absolutely a lie, but in the finest tradition of the fascist.
Right.
It caught all this traction, even though it wasn't true. Ohio's March 17th. I mean, Bloomberg, I mean, he was mayor of a major city. I mean, and again, he's had tremendous political experience. You know, he's no Bernie, but, you know, he's competent. He's been around.
Well, what's he saying? Does he have any, what is the substance of his campaign?
Absolute direct attack on Trump, calling him words in his ads like liar, fraud. I mean, did you hear the response to the, you know, he was, Bloomberg wants to negotiating the stand on the box, is that, you know, was something to the effect that everything about Trump is fake. He lies about everything, his obesity, you know, his hair, and his spray on tan. So it's a direct assault on Trump's integrity. And also,
well, there's no there.
And also, you know, all kids were covered in New York for health care. So really, it's social liberal policies involving health care as well as a direct assault on Trump as a liar.
Wow. This is going to be
same thing in Arizona. Bob is so right. You know, that's one of the things I like about him. He calls a spade a spade. You know?
Well, one thing Trump is not is a spade, but that's another story. So.
Exactly.
Well, this is going to be very interesting. I think we've seen the last of Joe Biden. I mean, he's going to get wiped out in New Hampshire. I mean, there's just not going to be any there. Biden has been the Kim Kardashian of the campaigns. You ask, why is Kim Kardashian famous? And the answer is because she's famous. You know, it was like Zsa Zsa Gabor, who was in a movie or two and then slept around with rich guys. There's no reason on earth that anybody should care about the Kardashians except they're famous. So that was Biden, you know. Biden was famous because he was the front runner and nobody did a better job than I think of destroying him than Tucker Carlson. I mean, every once in a while, Tucker Carlson comes out from under a rock and says something, stuff that's undeniable. And Newt Gingrich, the same thing. They love Bernie because they want Bernie to get the nomination because they think they can crush him. I think they're wrong. I hope they're wrong.
They're portraying him as George McGovern, out of touch, too far to the left.
Right. Now, one thing people have to remember about George McGovern, nobody remembers this, but I do. And it's one of the reasons he lost. And let's pray God it never happened again. Okay, George McGovern had a grassroots following. He was a decent guy. He wasn't a terrible candidate. You do had Nixon, you know, running a mafia operation out of the White House, completely illegal, virtually everything he did. He was a wartime
and trying to get McGovern elected.
But nominated. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, in the middle of the campaign, and nobody remembers this when they talk about McGovern, he did a terrible thing, McGovern. And he really doomed his campaign. He had nominated Thomas Eagleton for vice president. And then he found out that Eagleton suffered from depression. And based on that, McGovern dumped him and brought on Sergeant Schreiber, who had zero constituency except for the Kennedys. And that destroyed McGovern's campaign. You know, I was horrified by that. If McGovern had stood by Thomas Eagleton and, you know, defended people with depression, I think he would have stood a chance. He certainly would have not been limited to just, you know, what he got, which is, I guess, Massachusetts and D.C. So that's not going to happen again. I never forgave George McGovern for that. It was inexcusable. I should never have done it. And would he have won anyway? Probably not. But would he have gotten more than, you know, two states? Yeah, I definitely think he would have. And he should never have dumped Eagleton. Let's hope that this nothing like that happens again. How about a Bloomberg Bernie ticket? that would be interesting.
That would be.
I don't know. Too many Jews.
You know, I'm not convinced. Yeah,
to northeast. What neighborhood did Bloomberg come out of? We got Brooklyn and...
Yeah, pick a neighborhood. Two Brooklyn guys. You know, most likely Bloomberg's from there. But, and he wasn't a great mayor, certainly not for the public, and the black community is certainly not going to support him. He would probably have to run with Stacey Abrams, which would be all right. My understanding, yeah. Someone told me, I was told that Biden offered the vice presidency to Stacey Abrams. But, you know, I wish to God she would run for Senate in Georgia. I think she could actually win. And what an upturn to this country it would be to have a black female U.S. senator from Georgia. I mean, that would be almost as much as, you know, getting Trump out of the White House. Not quite. But, you know, the Democrats have to take the Senate. I don't know who else is going to even have a chance at that Senate seat in Georgia. But I don't know. We'll see. So Elizabeth Warren didn't do well. Amy Klobuchar trying to paint the best picture on it. Bernie's obviously going to carry New Hampshire. And then we see what Bloomberg comes at. But, you know, other states, what are the other states there are a bunch of them on the week. The California has its primary. But everybody's going to be looking at California, obviously. I mean, it's 10% of the country. It's, what, 20% of the Democrats, right? I mean, California is overwhelmingly Democratic. And so I don't know what their delegate count to the Democratic National Committee is, convention, but it's got to be huge. So this is what we're looking at. Is there anything in between after New Hampshire?
Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
Is the other place they were supposed to use the app.
Yeah, which they've canceled.
Go ahead.
It was the other place they were supposed to use the Iowa app, the acronym.
I think they're not going to do that, right? I think they're not going to do that, right, John? Did you hear that?
I don't know how they could.
Yeah, they've canceled out and said no way, and they're not going to use it. Rightfully so.
Well, maybe they'll do it. That is
another wild place for these caucuses. I hope they're a lot better than they were in 2016 because that was bizarre.
Weren't there six some states of those in 2016 where they didn't they do coin flips in six states in 2016? And Hillary won them all? Or was that a myth?
No, there was quite a few. I guess the majority that she won the coin flips. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works in these. Because, you know, after doing the one that I did, I could see how the coin flip is done on the local level because of how they split up the delegates. And who would get the one or whatever. Yeah. The one that I did, Bernie came in, I think, third place. But, you know, these are snowbirds, okay? There are more older people who come down here for the winter and then head back to Iowa in the summer, in spring.
Or Michigan or Ohio or
Maine. I'm just saying, for a lot of, I was surprised. And I guess maybe there were 3 to 4 caucuses in Arizona for these people organized.
Already, they've already had.
Yeah, ready for. Yeah, they had filed in, I guess, a month ago, and got permission. So it's kind of like an absentee because really you can't have absentee. All I know is that it was very transparent. But I'll say, even though Steve Rosenfeld's not here, we should be all grateful for his work investigating to stop them for doing virtual elections using smartphones. You know, that's what. Steve was able to educate these people and say, no way. This system was the compromise just to report the results only. Imagine that, having a smartphone.
It's really unbelievable.
Virtual.
I mean, after all these
years.
Look
up the word virtual, what does it really mean? Look up that definition.
After all these years since 2000, you know, the Democrats, we don't hear a word from Al Gore. Well, I just saw a piece today that John Kerry is considering running to prevent Bernie from winning.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen. I mean, that's just not going to happen. I think we're down. I think it's safe to say at this point, unless the media comes up with somebody else out of the blue, you know, that it's a 2-person race now between Bernie and Bloomberg. I mean, I don't see it going any other way.
And
I don't know. I see Pete in the mix still, believe it or not. And it took quite a bit to do what they did, and you know, to get him. But of course, the game after New Hampshire is no longer a ground game. It is a game that's played in the media, and the media doesn't give away. Okay, it's going to cost millions, and that's where Bloomberg has a big ace. And I think that Sanders does too, because he's got a lot of people behind him putting money in.
Bob, what do you think?
Well, no, I think you're right. Buttigieg, I mean, it may stick in, but ultimately, I think Biden was right. He's a small city mayor, small town mayor. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, I can't conceive that somebody from South Bend, without holding any higher offices than mayor of South Bend, would win the election. But who knows? I mean, there's always been talk about his intelligence work while in the military.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't think he has the charisma. I think his being gay is not going to fly in certain places. Although, again, I got to say it's a toss-up, gay or Jew. That's a tough one. I think the Democratic establishment is going to rally around Bloomberg and around Elizabeth Warren. You know, they're still terrified of Bernie. I think Bloomberg would have to run with Elizabeth Warren or Stacey Abrams. I think that Bernie would probably run with Stacey Abrams. But it's down to the two of them now, you know, and can they beat Trump? Well, one thing I want to say about Trump is, you know, there is the legend of Icarus. I mean, this guy is flying high. He's the embodiment of hubris, and he has a remarkable talent for screwing himself in key moments. You know, apparently during the Super Bowl, he was not paying attention during the Star Spangled Banner, which is always fun. I think he will find ways to sabotage himself, as do all bullies. And, you know, I would not in any way, shape, or form say, we love L.A. for its helicopters, in any way, shape, or form, that he's an inevitable victor. Oh, man, I can't believe the time is up. You guys, we got to collaborate on this article. Thank you for doing this show. It is the most detailed account of what's happened in Iowa. We're going to have to put it on paper. Thank you, Kira New York. We'll see you next week on the Green Power Solar Cookie Show.
Thanks. Solar Topia, don't you?